Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
And I'll tell you something else, too, is I cannot stand sissies.
You're going to talk about wrestling, that's redneck talk.
And guess what, Fatso? I'm the world champion.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. I am your host, Carl Stern. Thank you, whether you're listening to us over at whenitwascool.com or wrestlingobserver.com, figure4online.com. Thank you for choosing to spend your time here with me. I am Dragon King Carl, pro wrestling historian, and I'm working very hard to chronicle the history of professional wrestling and keep it alive and deep dive into it and remind us when many of us were fans, and not just fans, but dig back into the archives of pro wrestling history and learn about how we got here from wrestling's past. And this show is the long form history of wrestling. We mix our show topics up from episode to episode to keep it from getting stagnant and boring. And we're back around to this one. And this is where we, in chronological order, take a month of professional wrestling history and look in detail at it. And we are now up to July of 1983. And if you've been following along, 1983 is one of the most important years in pro wrestling history. Like, it is maybe the most important year in pro wrestling history, all things considered. So much happens. This is on the verge of WWF going national. All the pieces are falling in place. The territories are still pretty strong. There is the rise of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's going to start the year out as the one of the top stars and world title challenger in the AWA. He's going to go through the year and become the world champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And by the end of the year, he's going to end up in WWF, where in January of 84, he's going to win the WWF Heavyweight Championship and launch the Hulkamania era. Jimmy Snuka is going to get into all sorts of legal problems this year, including the death of Nancy Argentino. There is Southeastern Championship Wrestling. The territory I grew up on has probably my favorite year ever. It's the year Bob Armstrong turned heel. A lot of stuff's going on there. Jerry Lawler begins the year in Memphis as the presumed AWA World Champion, although the AWA territory at large doesn't recognize him. That Andy Kaufman stuff still going on there in Memphis. Southwest Wrestling, ICW, Larry Matisick in St. Louis, and even Georgia Championship Wrestling are flirting with leaving the NWA. I've talked about that. We do, for our Patreon supporters at whenitwascool.com, before each of these long-form history shows, I go through the Wrestling Observer newsletter and cover all the news in it, and there is a subplot going on. Many of you may have never heard about this, of some groups forming together kind of outside the NWA, including Georgia Wrestling, and we're in the midst of that going on now. The Road Warriors make their debut. There's just so much happening this year. I'm working on a very special project right now. I hope to announce something on it pretty soon, a big project dealing with 1983 and wrestling. So help spread the word. Let everybody know about this podcast. Subscribe to it for free at whenitwascool.com wrestling on any of your major podcast apps. And, of course, please support us at When It Was Cool on Patreon, or else we can't keep doing this. That's how we get our funding. So thank you to everybody there. Not to mention you get that Wrestling Observer review show. So let's dive into July 1983 in pro wrestling. The script for this show, go to whenitwascool.com, go to the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone, go scroll down the page to get to 1983, click that link, and now scroll all the way down to get to July. I have a few magazine covers up for July of 1983. The cover of the July 1983 issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine has Tommy Wildfire Rich and Ric Flair on the cover. It says, Tommy Wildfire Rich is Burning Desire, The Burning Desire, rather, is back. The fans have spoken. Bob Backlund must wrestle Jimmy Snuka again. And so that's your, of course, Tommy Rich, you know, he'd been world champion a couple years earlier. He's not going to be again, but that's good. Good cover. I mean, it's a good looking cover for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I got the Wrestling Superstars magazine for the summer of 1983. And it has Bob Backlund prominently featured in the middle. It says, Superstar interview with Bob Backlund. Wrestling can be proud of my 5 years as champion. Well, by the end of this year, Bob Backlund's long reign as WWF champion is going to come to an end. The Iron Sheik will beat him in the latter part of this year. So you got a lot of Bob Backlund on the cover here. And then I have a cover of the Wrestler magazine, July 1983, The Wrestler. It has a photo of Ric Flair versus Bruiser Brody. He has Bruiser Brody in a sleeper. We have Ivan Putski, looks like, against Adrian Adonis there. It says, Ric Flair, I wrestle the men Bob Backlund is afraid of. All right, so that's your newsstand, what's going on there. As I come across more, I'll add those to the Ultimate History of Wrestling Zone. Now let's get into it. The first half of July 1983, our first notice from July 2nd. In Atlanta, Georgia, on WTBS-TV, Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, defeated Larry Zbysko in a mask versus $25,000 challenge elimination match. Of course, this is a period where Larry Zbysko is challenging for the national title. He's tried to buy the national title from Killer Brooks, and that was thwarted, and he and Mr. Wrestling 2 are in a big feud here on TV. A lot of people don't like this era of Georgia, and there's some very interesting subtextual things going on in Georgia right now involving them and the NWA. We talked about it again a lot when I reviewed the Observer yesterday on yesterday's Patreon show. They didn't even acknowledge Harley Race winning the NWA world title for a while. Like, there is some disgruntled activity going on there. Now, it never ends up amounting to anything, but there was a cooperation going on between Georgia Wrestling, Southwestern Championship Wrestling, the Blanchard promotion, Angelo Poffo's IWC promotion, Larry Matisic's St. Louis Revival promotion, possibly even flirting with Memphis Wrestling. So there's like this sort of loose affiliation outside the confines of the NWA that's going on. And again, it's be what if, you know, what if that had come to fruition? All these groups, except Memphis really, were kind of in trouble a little bit, either creatively or financially. So I don't know that anything could have happened, but there's already rumblings. I mean, people are preparing for the eventual onslaught of Vince McMahon, you know, Vincent K. McMahon, Vince McMahon Jr., and what WWF would do in the coming years, even though that's not necessarily, you know, on the verge of happening right now. Like, it's there, but there's undoubtedly talk, there's rumblings. What's happening? And a lot of that actually is predicated on WTBS having this national exposure, more so than the threat right now of Vince McMahon taking over everything. It's the realization that cable TV is going to change pro wrestling. It's going to change the face of pro wrestling. The territorial system is going to ultimately be obsolete if everybody's TV show is in everybody else's territory. And some people are starting to try to figure out what to do about that. Continuing, July 2nd, 1983, WWF is in Los Angeles, California at the sports arena. The attendance, 9,100 people. And again, a reminder, if it's included in this Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone, that means it's a show with more than 5,000 people or more. Title changes, interactions with the law, birthdays, deaths, or things of historical significance. That's what we include in here. So this show, 9,100 people, certainly meets our criteria. Alexis Smirnoff, he's just now showed up in WWF, although he's not really going to do anything this time, defeated Jerry Monty. They, out in Los Angeles, this is interesting to see on a WWF show because they're Los Angeles-centric talent. Black Gordman and Goliath wrestle on a WWF show. They beat Steve Pardee and Billy Anderson. Mil Máscaras beats Ivan Koloff by DQ. Tony Atlas beats Jack Armstrong. There's another West Coast guy. I guess Mil Máscaras also. Pat Patterson, it's obvious to have him in Los Angeles as well, beats Buddy Rose. Again, makes sense on the West Coast. Jimmy Snuka beats Mr. Fuji. Andre the Giant defeated Big John Studd by countout in a $10,000 body slam match. And the WWF champion Bob Backlund fought Sergeant Slaughter, beat Sergeant Slaughter to a DQ, by DQ. July 3rd, 1983, at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Wrestling 2 Johnny Walker beats Larry Zbysko to win the NWA National title. The attendance was 4,000, so I don't have all the results there, but that is significant title change. The 4th of July, July 4th, 1983, and look, historically, July 4th has been kind of a jinx day for wrestling. A lot of bad stuff happens over the years, either on July 4th or the week before or after July 4th, so nothing particularly this year, but pay attention in the years to come. July 4th is not necessarily a good day in wrestling history. But here on July 4th, 1983, World Class Championship Wrestling, Independence Day Star Wars. That they branded their, you know, big cards quarterly or whatever, Star Wars shows. This is in Fort Worth, Texas. At the convention center, 12,000 people in attendance. Michael Hayes pins Iceman Parsons in a lights-out match. Bruiser Brody battled Kamala to a double DQ. David Von Erich beats Jimmy Garvin to win the held-up world-class Texas title. The Von Erichs, Kevin, David, and Kerry, beat the world-class six-man tag team champions, the Fabulous Freebirds, Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, and Buddy Roberts, to win the titles in a best-of-three-fall match, two falls to one. Also on the 4th of July, 1983, in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, they have 8,774 people there. My old mentor, the guy who tutored me in pro wrestling, used to book him on our shows and really liked the guy a lot. Ken Timms beat Ted Allen. Tommy Gilbert beat the Galaxian, this being Danny Davis. Duke Myers went to a draw with Dutch Mantell. Tom Pritchard and Chief Lone Eagle beat the Giant Rebel, and this was Uncle Elmer Stan Frazier under yet another gimmick, and Little Tokyo is his partner. So Chief Lone Eagle and Little Tokyo would have been little people in this mixed tag team match. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, team up with Steve Regal, Spike Huber, and Mad Dog. Yes, a huge match. They defeat Man Mountain Link, the Dream Machine, Troy Graham, Porkchop Cash, and the Grapplers, who are the masked Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony. Frankie Lane beat Stagger Lee, who is here, Coco Ware. Coco Ware had been doing the Sweet Brown Sugar gimmick that Skip Young was also doing in other areas. Now he's doing the Stagger Lee gimmick, which, of course, Junkyard Dog had been doing down in Mid-South. Frankie Lane beats him to win the Mid-America title. Fabulous One, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, team up with Austin Idol to beat the Moondogs, Rex and Spot and Bobby Eaton in a steel cage match. And in your main event, your double main event, Jimmy Hart and Andy Kaufman teamed together to beat Jerry Lawler in a handicap match by DQ. And then Jerry Lawler won a battle royal for a 1984 Corvette. So, man, there's a lot of people on this Memphis card. They booked a lot of multi-man matches and stuff. Drew well under a sellout, 8,774, so probably took a little bit of a financial hit, but a lot of people on that show. July the 5th, 1983, Scott McGee and Mike Graham beat the tag team of Angelo Mosca and Bobby Duncum to win the Global Tag Team titles in Tampa, Florida. Global Tag belts were their top belts at that time. July the 6th, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, at the Convention Center, attendance is 5,676. Dusty Rhodes beat Ox Baker by DQ. Purple Haze, who was Mark Lewin, battled Blackjack Mulligan to a no contest. Barry Windham beat Ron Bass. Mike Graham and Brad Armstrong and Scott McGee beat Adrian Street, Bobby Duncum, and Elijah Akeem, who's Ray Candy, in a six-man match. Charlie Cook battled Les Thornton to a draw. Penny Mitchell defeated Joyce Grable. Kevin Sullivan beat Denny Brown, and Adrian Street beat Bob Russell. July the 9th, 1983, WWF is in Boston, Massachusetts at the Boston Garden. Attendance, 14,820, so a good heavily attended show there. Sweet Hansen beat Frankie Williams. Tito Santana beat Pete Doherty, so Tito Santana now in the WWF. Salvatore Bellomo fought Iron Mike Sharp to a draw. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco fought Jimmy Snuka to a no contest. The WWF World Tag Team Champions, the Wild Samoans, Afonseca, beat Tony Garea and Mac Rivera. WWF Champion Bob Backlund beat George Steele by countout. Rocky Johnson fought Big John Studd to a double DQ. Ivan Putski beat Ivan Koloff by countout. The Invaders, Jose Gonzalez and Roberto Soto, and I may have that wrong. It may actually be Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera. And so the Observer says it's Johnny Rivera here, and so it probably is. I need to go back and make sure that's right and change that. So the Invaders, probably Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera, defeated Bob Bradley and Mr. Fuji. July 10th, 1983, listen to this, 20,703 people. This is at Toronto Exhibition Stadium in Toronto, Canada. This is for the Tunney promotion. They're working with both WWF and Crockett Promotions on and off. This is a Crockett heavy show here. So 20,703 fans. What about this? Big show. Nick DiCarlo and Billy Red Lines beat the Executioner, and I don't know who this Executioner is, and a guy named Bill Armstrong, not related to the Bob Armstrong family, presumably. Kelly Kaniski and Rene Goulet beat Bob and Joe Marcus to retain the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team titles. Johnny Weaver and Mike Rotundo beat Alec and Tim Gerard. Like, nothing on this card so far has, you know, has said this deserves 20,000 fans, but you'll see the main event's what the big draw is here. Fabulous Moolah defeated Princess Victoria to retain the World Women's Championship. Dick Slater beat Nick DiCarlo in a singles match. Greg Kabuki beat Jimmy Valiant to retain the Mid-Atlantic TV title. Ricky Steamboat and Jake Youngblood defeated Jake Roberts and Dory Funk Jr. Angelo Mosca beat the one-man game to retain the Canadian heavyweight title. NWA U.S. Champion Greg Valentine battled Wahoo McDaniel to a double countout. And the main event, and the reason everybody showed up, is because this is the first big rematch. This is the big rematch. Harley Race, as we talked about, had just recently won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship from Ric Flair. Of course, he's going to hold it for most of 1983 before they get to Starrcade, the first Starrcade in November, where Ric Flair will famously win it back. But here, Ric Flair beats NWA World Champion Harley Race, but it's by DQ, so Race keeps the championship. That was your big draw there. July 11th, 1983, the AWA is in Salt Lake City with an attendance of 7,900 people. Dr. D, David Schultz, beats Buck Zumhoff. Greg Gagne beats Mr. Saito by DQ. Jim Brunzell beats Jerry Blackwell. Ken Patera beat Mad Dog Vachon. And the tag team of Rick Martel and Wahoo McDaniel beat Bobby Heenan and Blackjack Lanza. Also on July 11th, 1983, so this must have been a Monday night, in Memphis, Tennessee, Mid-South Coliseum, we have 7,466 in attendance for this show, so down just a little bit. Spike Huber went to a draw with Don Anderson. Sweet Daddy O, and I'm not sure who that is, beat Tommy Gilbert. The Jaguar, this is our former Galaxian, Danny Davis, now wrestling as the Jaguar, beats Ken Timms. Tom Pritchard pinned Apocalypse. This is Mike Boyer in a weird gimmick, a weird kind of Rambo-type gimmick that Mike Boyer was a weird wrestler anyway. He's always kind of awkward and strange. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson beat Duke Myers and Man Mountain Link. Mid-America champion Frankie Lane beat Dutch Mantell. The Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony, beat the Fabulous One, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, to win the Southern Tag Team titles. Porkchop Cash and the Dream Machine, Troy Graham, beat Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol in a tag team match. So big upset there. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, beat Stagger Lee. Of course, we've established this is Coco Ware and Bobby Eaton by DQ. And Andy Kaufman beat Jimmy Hart in a lights-out match by disqualification in a lights-out match. Like, lights-out match is supposed to mean it's not even sanctioned, so I don't know how you can have a DQ in a non-sanctioned match, but I guess Andy Kaufman, Jimmy Hart, you can. On their same day, July 11, 1983, WWF is in East Rutherford, New Jersey at the Meadowlands with an attendance of 21,400 people, a sellout. So huge attendance numbers back in this era. I mean, you know, no question about it. 21,400 for WWF. Jeff Craney pinned Pete Doherty. Jeff Craney was another enhancement wrestler, if you don't remember who that was. These WWF undercards were brutal. Just absolutely brutal. Tito Santana beat Don Kernodle. Tony Garea fought Mr. Fuji to a time limit draw. Wow, I bet that was excruciating too. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Iron Mike Sharp by DQ. Ivan Putski pinned Samula of the Samoans. The WWF World Tag Team Champions, the Wild Samoans, Ivan Sika, defeated the Invaders. And again, I'm just going to go with this being Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera as the Invaders. Rocky Johnson pinned Ivan Koloff. Andre the Giant defeated Big John Studd in a steel cage match. And WWF Champion Bob Backlund pinned Sergeant Slaughter in a Texas death match. So there was your big draw on that show. July the 14th, 1983, in Winnipeg, Canada, Vern Gagne comes back out of retirement to team with Mad Dog Vachon and defeat the AWA World Tag Team Champions Ken Patera and Jerry Blackwell in a non-title match. Also on the show, Wahoo McDaniel and Baron Von Raschke defeated Blackjack Lanza and Bobby Heenan. Greg Gagne defeated Sheik Adnan, LKC. Mr. Saito beat Buck Zumhoff. Rick Martel battled Bill White to a draw. And David Schultz beat Brad Reagans. Also on July 14, 1983, WWF is in Glens Falls, New York, at the Civic Center with an attendance of 7,000 people. Salvatore Bellomo beat Chico Rodriguez. The Invaders beat Salvatore Bellomo and Sweet Hansen. Rocky Johnson beat Ivan Koloff. Andre the Giant fought Big John Studd to a double countout. And the WWF champion Bob Backlund beat George Steele. And to wrap up the first half of the month, July 15th, 1983, in St. Louis, Missouri, Ric Flair wins the NWA Missouri title in a tournament, defeating Bob Brown, George Wells, Butch Reed, and David Von Erich. Also on the show, Hulk Hogan's there, and he fought Jerry Blackwell to a no contest. So Ric Flair is now the NWA Missouri champion in his quest to regain the NWA World title. The Missouri title, often referred to as the stepping stone to the NWA World title. So this was part of the story that will lead to Starrcade. George Steele defeated WWF champion Bob Backlund by DQ in Portland, Maine. And finally, on July 15th, 1983, the AWA is in Denver, Colorado. I don't have the attendance, but likely was above 5,000. Wahoo McDaniel beat Bobby Jaggers. Rick Martel beat David Schultz. Mr. Saito beat Buck Zumhoff. Brad Reagans beat Bill White. Wahoo McDaniel beat Bobby Heenan in a lumberjack match. And Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell beat Tully Blanchard and Bobby Jaggers. A strange combination to have there in Denver, Colorado. All right, when we return on the second half of the show, we'll talk about the second half of July 1983, including we're going to go to the Superdome in New Orleans for a huge show there and much, much more. I want to remind everybody, if you were a Patreon supporter at whenitwascool.com, yesterday we would have went through the July 1983 issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. It was Dave Meltzer's biggest issue yet. So if you find that interesting, find wrestling history interesting, and if you want instant access to over 2,000 podcasts, yes, 2,000 podcasts, not to mention you keep us in business, please check us out on Patreon, and we'll be back right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.
All right, we're back. And again, thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon at WhenItWasCool.com. Go to the front page of WhenItWasCool.com, hit any of those Patreon links, and I can't wait to tell you about a big project I've got coming up dealing with 1983 and pro wrestling history, and I hope to have more about that soon. thank you any way you can support me over at whenitwascool.com. It is greatly appreciated. So let's go to July the 16th, 1983, a huge show at the Superdome in New Orleans. Mid-South Wrestling has their, you know, a quarterly or so Superdome show. 19,000 people there for a regional territory. That's how big wrestling was back then. Butch Reed defeats Junkyard Dog for the North American title. So that's a big, big win there for Butch Reed. The Butch Reed Junkyard Dog series was great. Butch Reed was incredible in Mid-South Wrestling, as obviously it goes without saying Junkyard Dog was. Great times here in Mid-South. King Kong Bundy beat Dusty Rhodes in a tape fist match. Can you even believe such a thing happened? Well, it did. Jim Duggan beat Ted DiBiase in a lights out match. Iceman King Parsons beat Freebird Buddy Roberts. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, coming back over from Georgia for a minute to reprise his feud with Larry Zbyszko, beats Larry Zbyszko. They were kind of, again, working a little bit in tandem. Bill Watts, who was not part of the NWA either, was kind of working with these other groups. There's a little bit of a subplot there. And again, on that Wrestling Observer newsletter show from yesterday on Patreon, we really dove into that. It's a very interesting thing. You seldom hear anything ever talked about, but there was a real cooperation going on here and a real potential for something to go on with a split in the NWA right during this time period. Fascinating. Never hear anybody talk about it much. But Dave really dives into it in the newsletter back then. We have Tommy Rich beating Kamala. Magnum T.A. defeated Buzz Sawyer by DQ. And remember, Buzz Sawyer was involved in training Magnum T.A., if you could call it that. He actually tried to stiff Magnum T.A. on his money and steal it like he did to, you know, supposedly to several other people. But he ended up, Magnum followed him, trailed him all the way to Portland, Oregon. And so Buzz at least got him bookings in different areas. And I guess they got along well enough to at least work together here. Mil Máscaras and Tim Horner, what a tag team. Listen to this tag team match. This is amazing. Mil Máscaras and Tim Horner beat Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs, and Boris Zukov. Yes, Jim Nelson has now, he was no longer Private Nelson. United States had been in Mid-Atlantic with Sergeant Slaughter and Kernodle have now gone to WWF. And Jim Nelson has left the, I guess, fake United States Marine Corps to go become a Russian. He's now Boris Zukov. And Mr. Olympia is wrapping up his time there in Mid-South. He's about to go back to Southeastern Wrestling, where he's going to get involved in a program with Super Olympia, who is Arn Anderson. So that's all on the verge of happening. George Weingroff beat Art Cruz, and Johnny Rich beat Rip Rogers. On this same day, July 16th, 1983, WWF is in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. Attendance, 10,000 people. Televised on the Prism Network. Sweet Hansen beat Jeff Craney. Iron Mike Sharp beat Tony Garea. Tito Santana beat Don Kernodle. Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beat Jimmy Snuka by DQ. Sergeant Slaughter beat SD Jones. WWF Champion Bob Backlund beat George the Animal Steele. The Invaders, again, as I mentioned, is probably Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera. I have Roberto Soto in the notes, but I think it's going to be Johnny Rivera. Defeated Mr. Fuji and Frankie Williams. Ivan Koloff beat Salvatore Blomo. And airing on All American Wrestling, this would actually air over in October, Andre the Giant and Ivan Putski and Chief J. Strongbow and Rocky Johnson team up to beat Big John Studd, Samula, and the Wild Samoans, Afinseca, in a multi-man match. July 17, 1983, at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, Ronnie Garvin defeated the Iron Sheik to win the NWA National TV title in a no-time limit match. In a lights-out match, Mr. Wrestling 2 beat Larry Zbyszko by DQ. Then Mr. Wrestling 2 beat Killer Tim Brooks. Actually, I think Mr. Wrestling 2 beat Killer Tim Brooks first, and that earned him another match, a lights-out match with Larry Zbyszko. Texas Death Match, Buzz Sawyer beat Tommy Rich. Pez Watley defeated Larry Zbyszko. The Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, beat Steve O and Terry Taylor. Arn Anderson, who's now minus Matt Bourne. Remember, we talked about Matt Bourne getting in all that legal trouble up in Ohio. He got fired. Arn Anderson's going to be around for a little bit longer. Then he's going down again to Southeastern Wrestling, putting on a mask as Super Olympia. to eventually feud with Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs. But here he teams with Rick Rude, yes, that Rick Rude, to defeat Carl Fergie and Norman Frederick Charles III. Bill Irwin, new to the area, defeated Joe Lightfoot, and Brett Wayne, eventually Brett Wayne Sawyer, defeated Pat Rose. We got our interview with Pat Rose up on When It Was Cool website for one of our free shows. Mark Cole from over at his podcast, he let us stream that as well. So if you go to the front page of whenitwascool.com, you can see that interview with Pat Rose. Great job done by Mark on that show. In Orlando, Florida, WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Ron Bass by DQ. July 18th, 1983, in Memphis, Tennessee, the Mid-South Coliseum. Attendance is down yet again, 6,790. Tom Pritchard went to a draw with Duke Myers. The Jaguar, Danny Davis, beat the Galaxian. And this time the Galaxian, the other half of the Galaxian, is Ken Wayne. The Giant Rebel, yep, Uncle Elmer, won an elimination match over Don Anderson, Tommy Gilbert, Spike Huber, Man Mountain Link, Mad Dog, Duke Myers, Sweet Daddy O, whoever that is, Tom Pritchard, and Ken Timms. Dutch Mantell beat Frankie Lane to win the Mid-America title. The CWA Tag Team Champions, and this was another, this is not the Southern Tag Team Champions, this is another belt they come up with. Periodically they would have their own world or international tag team champions, whatever. Anyway, CWA World Tag Team Champions at this point are the Assassins. And if you said the Assassins, that must be Don Bass and Roger Smith under mask, you'd be correct. They beat the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, beat Bobby Eaton and Stagger Lee in a no DQ match. The Southern Tag Team Champions now are the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony, and they beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern, Stan Lane, by DQ. Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol team up to beat Porkchop Cash and the Dream Machine. And then Jerry Lawler teams up with Andy Kaufman to beat the Assassin number one. This one, I guess, will be probably Don Bass and Jimmy Hart by DQ. Also on July 18th, in West Palm Beach, Florida, WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Bobby Duncombe. July the 19th, 1983, Joe LeDuc beat Scott McGee on TV in Tampa, Florida for the Florida title. And also on that same show, WWF champion Bob Backlund, he's touring Florida at this point, even though, you know, WWF is still technically at this point in time in NWA territory also, although that's about to change. But Bob Backlund beat Ron Bass by DQ. July 20th, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, the Convention Center, attendance 5,543. Blackjack Mulligan and Angelo Mosca beat Kevin Sullivan in the Purple Haze. WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Ron Bass. Barry Windham teams up with the Fabulous Moolah. Yes, this result is bizarre, but it's true. Barry Windham and Fabulous Moolah beat Adrian Street and Miss Linda. What a match. Elijah Akeem, this is Ray Candy, beat Mike Graham. Scott McGee beat Bobby Duncombe. Then Les Thornton teams with Angelo Mosca Jr. to beat Ox Baker and Shotgun Willie in what must have been, like, this match probably made poor old Les Thornton's head explode with carrying all these dead weights around. July 22nd, 1983, in Richmond, Virginia, at the Coliseum, Jimmy Valiant defeated One Man Gang and Sir Oliver Humperdinck in a handicap hair versus hair loser leave town steel cage match. Also on this same show, the NWA World Champion Harley Race beat Ric Flair by DQ. I don't have the attendance for that show. July 22nd, 1983, WWF is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Civic Arena. The attendance is 14,000. Don Kernodle finally gets a win in WWF. He beats Johnny DeFazio. Johnny DeFazio was a Pittsburgh regular. Tito Santana beat Mr. Fuji. Bill Dixon pinned Bill Berger in a match nobody on earth cared about. Except, I guess, Bill Dixon and Bill Berger. Andre the Giant beat Big John Studd in a body slam match. Chief J Strongbow beat Baron Mikhail Cicluna. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco fought Jimmy Snuka to double DQ. Sergeant Slaughter beat Tony Garea. And WWF Champion Bob Backlund beat George the Animal Steel. July the 23rd, 1983, WWF is in Landover, Maryland at the Capitol Center with an attendance of 19,800. Sellout. This is televised on the USA Network. Bob Bradley beats Steve King. Jeff Craney defeats Jack Carson. Pete Sanchez beat Israel Mateo. Sweet Hansen beat Tony Colon. George Animal Steel beat Salvatore Bellomo. Rocky Johnson beats Mr. Fuji. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco fought Jimmy Snuka to a double DQ. Andre the Giant beat Big John Studd in a steel cage match by escaping over the top. No, of course not. He escaped through the door after a body slam. That particular match was not televised on USA Network. Instead, they showed the Samoans versus Andre, Rhodes, and Putski match from Madison Square Garden. That's going to air in its place when the USA thing airs on July 30th. Jim Crockett Promotions, July 23rd. Is in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Coliseum. Attendance, 5,314. Rene Goulet beat John Bonello. Interesting to see Rene Goulet on a Jim Crockett Promotions card here. Vinny Valentino beat Golden Boy Jerry Gray. Dick Slater and Jake Roberts beat Johnny Weaver and Bret Hart. No, not that Bret Hart. This is Barry Horowitz. Mid-Atlantic champion Dory Funk Jr. beat Rufus R. Jones. Oh, my God, what a match that was. NWA U.S. champion Greg Valentine beat Roddy Piper. Jimmy Valiant and Bob Orton Jr. beat Great Kabuki and Gary Hart in a steel cage match. I bet that was a cluster also. Then Ric Flair beat the NWA World Champion Harley Race by DQ. July 24th, 1983, Return of the Champions card in Toronto at Exhibition Stadium. This one drawing a lot less, 11,000. Here for this card. The U.S. champion Greg Valentine beat Cy Jernigan. One Man Gang beat Mike Davis. Jacques Rene Goulet and Kelly Koniski beat Nick DiCarlo and Vinny Valentino. Bob Marcus beat Masafuchi. Rufus R. Jones beat Jake Roberts. Mid-Atlantic champion Dory Funk Jr. pinned Mike Rotundo. The NWA World Tag Team Champions Jack and Jerry Briscoe beat Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood by DQ. Jimmy Valiant and Bob Orton Jr. beat the Great Kabuki and Gary Hart in a steel cage match. Sergeant Slaughter beat Angelo Mosca to win the NWA Canadian title. So Sergeant Slaughter is a regular, a main eventer in WWF, and he's also the NWA Canadian champion. NWA World Champion Harley Race beat Ric Flair by DQ. Johnny Weaver was the special referee. Also on the 24th of July in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Magnum T.A. and Jim Duggan beat Ted DiBiase and Boris Zukov, who is substituting for Mr. Olympia, to win the Mid-South Tag Team title. So Mr. Olympia's going to Southeastern at this point. Also on the 24th of July, AWA in St. Paul, Minnesota, Brad Reagans battled Bill White to a draw. Baron Von Raschke beat Blackjack Lanza. Jim Brunzel beat David Schultz. Mr. Saito beat Rick Martel. Ken Patera and Jerry Blackwell beat Mad Dog Vachon and Dick the Bruiser by DQ. And the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel battled Wahoo McDaniel to a double countout. July 25th, 1983, Monday night rolls back around again. I don't have the attendance here, although they've been a little over half a house at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. We have Jerry Lawler beat Ken Patera for the international title. Also on the show, Stagger Lee, Coco Ware, defeated Man Mountain Link in a loser leave town match. The Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, beat the Grapplers to win the Southern Tag Team titles. Also, July 25th, 1983, go to Montreal, Quebec. Attendance here, 18,347. So, big show here in Quebec. Bull Boucher defeated Tony Rico. Louis Lawrence defeated Mr. Hito by DQ. Tony Parisi and Gino Brito and Armand Rougeau defeat Gilles Poisson and Sailor White and Kurt Von Hess. Rick Martel and Billy Robinson defeat the WWF Tag Team Champions, the Wild Samoans, Afonseca by DQ. Abdullah the Butcher beats Gino Brito. Andre the Giant beat Blackjack Mulligan by DQ. Dino Bravo defeated the Masked Superstar. Yes, this is Bill Eady here. Pat Patterson and Pierre Lafavre defeat Jot and Raymond Rougeau. July the 29th, 1983, Mil Máscaras went to a draw with the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel in Houston, Texas, with Lou Thesz as a special guest referee. Even got a picture from this match of Lou Thesz standing there holding the AWA Inmate Championship belt with Nick Bockwinkel on his right and Mil Máscaras on his left. Great, great photo there. It's very interesting. July the 30th, 1983, let's go to Madison Square Garden. Hope you've been listening and enjoying my Madison Square Garden, History of Wrestling at Madison Square Garden series. Love doing that show. We get an attendance of 27,000 fans, so a big show at the Garden. Tony Garea went to a time limit draw with Iron Mike Sharp. Ivan Koloff defeated SD Jones. The Invaders defeated Jeff Carney and Gypsy Rodriguez. Big John Studd beat Salvatore Bellomo. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco battled Jimmy Snuka to double DQ. Dusty Rhodes is in the Garden. Andre the Giant and Dusty Rhodes and Ivan Putski teamed together to face the Wild Samoans, Alpha Sika and Samula. Sergeant Slaughter beats Swede Hansen. George Animal Steel beats the WWF Champion Bob Backlund by DQ, so he doesn't win the title. Rocky Johnson beats Don Kernodle. And Tito Santana defeated Mr. Fuji. And finally, and we'll wrap it up here, July the 31st, 1983. Got two notes. In Orlando, Florida, Kareem Muhammad and Elijah Akeem, that is the new names, of course, the Zambui Express, Leroy Brown and Ray Candy, they beat Scott McGee and Mike Graham for the Global Tag Team titles. Also on the show, the NWA World Champion, remember WWF Champion's just been there, well, the NWA Champion's in town now, Harley Race beats Dusty Rhodes by DQ. In our final note, we go back to the Omni in Atlanta. Attendance for this show, 9,000. Roddy Piper back in town here. He beats Buzz Sawyer by DQ. The Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, they're the National Tag Team Champions. They beat the NWA World Tag Team Champions, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, although I guess neither belt was on the line or there was some screwy finish or something because neither of the belts changed hands here. Pez Watley beat Greg Valentine. I know that's a strange result to a lot of people, but Pez Watley was pretty, heavily pushed. And Georgia, Pez Watley's another guy, never got the due he deserved, never got the push he deserved either. Pez Watley was really good. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker beat the Iron Sheik. Tommy Rich beat Bill Irwin by DQ. Brett Wayne battled Ronnie Garvin to a draw. Bet Ronnie Garvin loved that. Mr. Wrestling, the original, yes, we talked about that when I reviewed the Observer newsletter on yesterday's Patreon show. He's back, 49 years old, I believe, going to make another attempted run at it. Mr. Wrestling beats Joe Lightfoot. And then finally, Rick Rude beats Pat Rose. And again, check out that interview Mark did with Pat Rose on the front page of WhenItWasCool.com. Check out everything we do at WhenItWasCool.com. Love to have you over there. If you love wrestling history, love retro pop culture, you've never checked us out, why not? It's more than just a Patreon. Yes, that's how we fund our show. Yes, there's 2,000 podcasts on there. We have lots of free stuff, too. We got great articles. We got lots of free podcasts for you to check out. We love professional wrestling and pro wrestling history. I am documenting it, the entire history of pro wrestling up to the year 2000. In timeline format at the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone. Cost you nothing to go there and look around and, hey, learn about pro wrestling history, enjoy pro wrestling history, keep it alive, tell others about it. And I'm looking forward to announcing a huge, big project. I'm very near to completion dealing with 1983 in pro wrestling. I hope to be able to announce it maybe in the coming weeks. Until next time, we'll be back at Wrestling Observer Newsletter next week with another Pro Wrestling History show, and we're back daily at WhenItWasCool.com. Bookmark that. Check us out. Follow us on social media. Love to see you there. Love to have you with us. We love wrestling history, and I'm very, very happy that you've chosen to spend your time here with me. I'll see you here again soon with another show.
Hey everybody, Carl here from WhenItWasCool.com. I've talked to you a lot about our Patreon, which is the most important way you can support us. But let me remind you of what else we do. You can follow us on social media on both Facebook and Twitter. Grab the links off the front page of WhenItWasCool.com. Check out all of our free podcasts on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and other major podcast outlets. Check out Dragon King Dark, along with Stuck in the Desert podcast, Uphill Both Ways, Wrestling with the Dog, The Thrash Metal Show, Life and Times with KZ, our new show, The Plot, Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, Fireside Chat and Heel Mustache podcast, plus many specials every month. Go to WhenItWasCool.com for everything retro pop culture and more. Hit that Patreon link for premium podcast content. If you're looking for something fresh and fun to listen to, then bookmark whenitwascool.com.